Is COVID-19 a sign of the end times? That's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus, and I think it'll be an exciting one. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Send your questions into radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to Grace in Focus. We're glad that you're listening, and we're glad that you're sending us your questions, theology questions, Bible questions. We're doing some Q&A now, and here is a question from a reader. It's anonymous, and that's actually a question I've been asked a couple dozen times now. Right. In fact, you know what? Abby asked me this question because a coworker heard that I was a pastor and so asked her to ask me while she was on her shift. Is COVID-19 a sign that we are in the end times?
My answer would be no, there are no signs. If by the end times we mean what the Bible calls the end times, well, we've been in the end times since the first century. John says, right, my little children, it is the last hour. And James said, James 5:9, the judge is standing at the door. So, yes, we're in the end times. But a sign of the end times, I'd say no, because I think what the person means is this a sign that the rapture is just around the corner?
Or is the Antichrist going to appear? Is there going to be like world war and everyone's going to die and all those bad things that are—
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know, is this a sign that that's about to happen? We would say no.
This reminds me of the cartoon. I think you brought it in, where the seminary student, who's a bit older, he's talking to his wife and he says, honey, I just can't understand eschatology. And she says, that's okay, sweetie. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
Well, it is the end of the world.
Right. That's what eschatology is.
At least this age of the world. Yeah. Uh-huh. And my point would be, no, this is not a sign that somehow the world is going to collapse and we're going into world war and we're going to see the tribulation any day now.
Right, right.
And the rapture is going to occur and the tribulation is going to follow. In fact, I've kind of joked that we know the rapture can occur right now because Jesus said that his return, that is the time of the rapture, would be like the time of Noah when people are marrying and they're having children, etc. Well, right now, you've got people questioning, should we get married? Should we have children? Mm. People who are pregnant are like, well, my husband's not going to be allowed in the delivery room. I read some story of a woman who delivered at home because the hospital wouldn't let her husband be with her in the delivery room.
Oh,
so
man.
She was like, okay, I'll deliver at home.
Wow.
You know, the truth is, these are strange times, and it seems to me 1 Thessalonians 5 says, while they're saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them.
Uh-huh.
It's hard for me to imagine this is people saying peace and safety.
Hmm.
I tend to think that during this time, it's very unlikely the rapture is going to occur. We've got
right.
to get past this. Now, having said that, I still believe the rapture is imminent. It could be tomorrow.
Right.
Then again, we could have deliverance from this. God could instantly deliver us from this, just like, remember in the 10 plagues of Egypt? Well, those ended instantly.
Right.
Even though they were horrendous plagues, God just said, okay, that one's done.
Right.
Make all the flies go away. Make
right.
all the locusts go away.
Right.
You know, stop turning the Nile into blood. That kind of thing. God could stop the coronavirus today mm-hmm. in its tracks worldwide. It'd be a big miracle.
Right.
And the rapture could be tomorrow. And on the other hand, I could be misreading those clues. But the point is, there is no sign of the rapture. If anything, this would be a sign of the non-rapture, is my point.
Okay. And on the other side of it, the tribulation is going to be many times worse than anything that we're experiencing right now, even in terms of plagues and epidemic. The coronavirus is pretty mild compared to what we've had in the past with the bubonic plague and
yeah.
the Spanish flu, and especially the bubonic plague. I was just reading about it, and it was just horrible. I mean, how you died from that.
Right.
And there was something like as little as 1 in 4 to maybe 1 out of 2 people died in Europe
right.
from that.
Right.
That I can understand. Okay, it's the end of the world. This is pretty mild compared to that.
Exactly. The worst prognostications are that maybe 1 or 2 or 3 million Americans would have died as a
right.
result. Now they're saying 1 to 200,000.
Which is terrible.
Which is terrible.
Absolutely horrible. But it's not as bad as what the tribulation is going to be way worse.
You're right. During the tribulation, over half the world's population will die.
Billions.
That means
people.
Based on the current population of the world, we're looking at more than 3 billion.
Yeah.
Probably 4, 5, 6 billion people will die during those 7 years.
Right, right. So this is bad. You know, the coronavirus is bad and people are suffering and families are hurting. But no, the tribulation is going to be much worse, which is why if you don't want to be a part of that, you need to believe in Jesus for eternal life. Because
right.
if you believe in him for eternal life, they'll become part of the church, and the church is going to be raptured away before the tribulation starts. We're going to be saved from wrath.
And look at it this way. Right now, we're getting daily reports, and we're saying, you know, 1,000 people died yesterday as a result of the coronavirus in the United States. Or worldwide, 4,000 people died yesterday, or whatever the number is.
Uh-huh.
During the tribulation, there are going to be a million or more dying every day, probably.
Right.
I mean, 365 million people dying in a year is going to be a small number during the 7 years.
Wow.
So the numbers are going to far exceed what we have today. You know, the numbers we're getting today, I know we see it on the news all the time, and it's supposed to impress us how huge these numbers are.
Yeah.
Like you say, comparing it to cholera or the bubonic plague
mm-hmm.
or Ebola or other things, the number of people, the lethality of this is far tamer than these other plagues.
Right.
And this really isn't even a plague, I don't think. But in any regard, I think it's terrible that all these people are getting sick and dying. But the truth is, we're going to get through this because God guarantees that the world will still be here when Christ returns. He's not going to allow us to destroy the planet, and he's not going to allow anything to destroy mankind.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's another question. This is from Patrick, and it's about an article you published in the March-April edition of the Grace and Focus magazine, which you can get for free. You can look it up for free at our website, Faith Alone, or you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org. And he says, on page 6, you cited there's only one reliable evidence that you have exercise-saving faith. The evidence is that you currently believe in Jesus for everlasting life and justification. Can you give us a little bit of context what that article is about?
Yes, let me explain that. I had found as I was working on a topic that an author, I believe it was John MacArthur, said that while we're saved by faith, the faith that saves always results in a life filled with good works. And so he gave 9 reliable evidences that someone has truly believed. And I pointed out that was, although well-intentioned, a denial of justification by faith alone. Mm. And I said the only reliable evidence that you believe savingly is that you believe savingly right now.
Right. So,
in other words, let's say that you believe savingly when you were 10 years old, or I think in your case you were, 17 or something?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say you believed savingly when you were 17, or me when I was 20, and I can remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say today I'm an atheist. Does my remembering what I used to believe when I was a young man, and I no longer believe, does that give me assurance today?
No. I mean, if you've stopped believing.
Because I'm an atheist.
Right.
Right? So I don't believe in life after death anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this isn't hypothetical. I have a pastor friend whose son is exactly like that. Mm-hmm. He grew up in Awana, came to faith, knew he was born again. And now he's an atheist.
Right.
And he can tell everybody what he once believed, and he'll even say, if that's true, then I'll be in heaven forever.
But it's not true.
But
so.
But I'm convinced it's not true,
right,
so,
right.
You know, whatever. But the point is, our assurance today is based on believing today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my eternal security today is based on that I've believed at any point in my life.
Yeah.
But in terms of assurance, the only reliable evidence I have that I believe today is that I believe today.
So what's the alternative? If your faith is not evidence of the faith, then what is?
Right. They're saying works.
Right.
You look at your works and you say, let's see, do I love other Christians?
Yeah.
Well, of course, that's subjective, isn't it? How
mm-hmm.
much do I love other Christians?
Right.
And then they will say, do I hate sin? Well, okay, but how much do I hate sin?
Yeah.
Do I hate it enough?
Yeah.
And some people say, I confess my sins. Well, how much? Am I confessing my sins enough? Am I living a holy life? Well, what's the bar?
Mm-hmm.
If the bar is Jesus, no, I don't match up.
Mm-hmm.
If the bar is that I'm to be a godly person, well, yes, there are scriptures that talk about that, But finding my assurance of everlasting life in my works is a fool's errand.
Yeah.
We can't do it. We're not to look to ourselves for assurance. We're look to Jesus for assurance. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, not us.
Yeah.
And besides, there's no guarantee in Scripture that if we're born again, we're going to persevere.
That's right.
We're commanded to persevere. That's our goal. That's where we get it. Paul says, if we endure, we'll reign with Christ, 2 Timothy 2:12. But that's not guaranteed.
Right. And so Patrick basically has a question about whether Hebrews 6, 4-8, does that teach that if a person who has once believed in Jesus and then later falls away, that they need to repent and come back to faith, or else they'll experience eternal condemnation? So what is that passage in Hebrews 6? Oh, yes. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. So is that really about you need to come back to faith or be lost forever?
No. You remember you met I. Howard Marshall on one occasion.
I did.
And he wrote that these five participles are the strongest possible expression of a Christian. Someone who has tasted the good word of God, they've become partakers of the Holy Spirit, they've tasted the heavenly gift, they've once and for all been enlightened,
right,
and they've tasted the powers of the age to come. That's a born-again person. And if they fall away, they're going to experience God's judgment in this life.
So that's the key there.
That's the key.
This
and by
is
the way,
about judgment in this life.
And the illustration James uses is a field, and it says if it produces good crops, that's a blessing. But if it produces bad crops, thorns and thistles, it's going to be burned. Well, what's burned is the thorns and thistles. Mm. The field itself remains.
Right.
The believer is the field, and God wants us to produce good crops. And so the point is, if we don't serve Christ faithfully, if we fall away, then we're going to experience judgment in this life. I believe Patrick goes on to talk about his own son and say he's fallen away from the faith and he seems to be concerned about his eternal destiny.
Yeah.
Well, no, you should be concerned about his destiny right now. If he ever believed, which Patrick says his son did believe, well, then he's still born again, even though currently he's away from the Lord.
Well, interesting, hard questions there. So please, if you have any more questions, send them to radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you and be able to see if we can answer the questions you have on your heart and your mind. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to add to today's topic by talking about COVID stress, so you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.